Let us go now to Grants, New Mexico, and John. Hello, John. John, are you there, my friend? Hey, John.
Hi, I'm a member of the Methodist Church. I attend there.
Okay.
And my question concerning the Catholic Church, I understand this long history, succession of bishops and popes, tracing the history of the Catholic Church back to the first century church, the church that Jesus founded, that Jesus Christ founded. My question, and what I still don't fully understand, Peter being the first pope, what I don't understand is that passage where Jesus says, "And upon this rock I found my church." Why would God, through his son Jesus, who gave his life for the salvation of all mankind, confer the church that he founded to a fallible, sinful man? That's what throws me. I don't understand how Peter is the rock of the church.
Yes. Well, John, you know, we could ask that question. In fact, let me ask you this. Why would God, who sent his son Jesus Christ, as you said, who died on the cross, performed miracles, resurrected from the dead, why would he commit the writing of sacred scripture, the infallible, inerrant word of God, to a sinful and fallible man like Peter or John or Paul or Luke or Mark or any of them, right? Because they're all sinners. Why would he do that? John, are you there?
Yes, I'm listening.
Why would he do that? I mean, these guys are sinners and fallible and, you know.
Yes.
Paul persecuted the church and everything, and yet he wrote the inerrant, inspired, infallible word of God. Well, let me answer my own question.
Through the Holy Spirit working through those fallible men.
Right. Amen,
now
John.
Now we got some momentum.
That's right. That's exactly right. And that, see, what we believe as Catholics is just like you. God can take sinful, fallible men. And in fact, when you read the Gospels, the apostles, some of them sometimes were comical in the way how far they were at times away from God in their thinking, and yet God transforms them and he uses them to be instruments to communicate his inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Well, Peter is one example among all of them of exactly that. And Peter was called for a particular task, even though, you know, I like to jokingly say, John, that Peter broke the world record. He's actually in the Guinness Book of World Records, Patrick, you may want to know this, for hopping on one foot longer than anybody ever, because his other foot was in his mouth. It is true.
That's really? No.
Yes, it's there. But, John, you know what I mean. You know, Peter definitely had foot-in-mouth disease. But see, St. Paul puts it this way, John. God chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He chooses a 14-year-old little girl of no special, you know, she wasn't a queen. She wasn't a member of the royal family. It was the Blessed Virgin Mary to bring forth the Son of God. He chooses knuckleheads like you and I. He chooses knuckleheads like Patrick, especially a knucklehead. And he uses us, even though we are sinners, to bring Jesus to other people. Now, Peter was given a special gift in being the head of the apostles, the spokesman for the apostles. He was given uniquely, as you know, John, the keys of the kingdom. None of the other apostles were given that. Only Peter was. They were all given the power with Peter to bind and loose, but Peter alone was given the keys, symbolizing authority. And in spite of his weakness, Jesus guaranteed, John, and remember this, it's not Peter that's building the church, right? It's Jesus who's building the church on Peter. It's not because of Peter's goodness, his brilliance, certainly not his holiness, but it's because of the power and promise of Jesus Christ that we know he's the rock and that Jesus builds his church through him and his successors, the Pope. So really, ultimately, John, everything comes back to the power of Jesus Christ. And we believe Jesus is glorified in using weak vessels like Peter and like you and I. Does that make sense, John?
All right, that's beginning to make sense. See, my interpretation of what Catholics seem to say that the foundation of the church is Jesus, not Peter. The Word made flesh, the authority that God invested in Jesus, that's the rock, that's the foundation of the church.
John, let me tweak that a little bit, okay? Because I can't deny sacred scripture here, because sacred scripture doesn't agree with you there. It's not a matter of either or. It's not a matter of either Jesus is the foundation or Peter is. We know Jesus is the foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "No other foundation can man lay except that which is laid, Jesus Christ." But we also know that Jesus Christ has the power to make men part of that foundation in him. For example, in Ephesians 2:20, the scripture says we're built upon the foundation of the apostles, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So notice, Jesus is the foundation, but now the apostles are the foundation as well in him. And in Revelation 21:14, we see as well the 12 apostles as the foundation of the great city. In heaven, as John is viewing heaven. All right. So it's not a contradiction to say Jesus is the foundation and the apostles are the foundation. And it's not a contradiction to say that Jesus, the foundation, and ultimately our rock, because God, you know, I believe it's 1 Samuel 2:2 in scripture that says, "Who is a rock save our God?" God is our rock. God is our foundation. And yet, isn't it interesting that in Isaiah 51, verses 1 and 2, there we have God as our rock in the Old Testament, and yet Isaiah 51, 1 and 2 will say, "Look unto the rock whence you have been hewn. Look unto Abraham, your father, and Sarah, your mother." So Abraham, as patriarch, becomes the rock in God, who is the rock. And he becomes the rock, the father of the faith of the Old Covenant. Well, now in the New Covenant, we have Jesus Christ, who is our rock. He is our God. He is our foundation. He makes the apostles the foundation in him, and he makes Peter uniquely the rock upon which he would build his church. So there's no contradiction here. It's Jesus the rock who makes Peter the rock. It's Jesus the foundation that makes Peter and the apostles the foundation in him and through his power. Does that make sense, Sean?
Beginning to make sense, yes. Thank you. I've never been able to make that distinction or draw that. To me, it was a contradiction.
Gotcha.
Thank you. Answered my question.
You know what, John? I want to encourage you, get a hold of, I have a CD set here at Catholic Answers called "The Shocking Truth About the Pope and the Bible." I'd encourage you to get a hold of it. I go through multiple texts from Matthew's Gospel, Luke, John, the Book of Acts. We take the texts apart. Also, that's available at our shop, but we've got tons of free information as well. You can go to our blog. You can go to Catholic.com, in fact, and click on Library, and you'll get a drop down there. Check out our tracts, you'll see. And we have tons of articles as well on Peter, the rock, the foundation of the church, and so forth. So, John, check it out. Dive in, my friend, and it sounds like you're on the road.
You're in trouble, John. Let's just say it.
Thank you very much, though. Okay. That explanation really helped.
All right. Praise
God. I couldn't make the understanding. Now I have a grasp of it.
All right.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Music to our ears, John. Count on our prayers. That a great call that
Amen.
Was.
Amen.
Open mind. Beautiful thing.